I want to take all these things we've talked about, and I want to sum it up in a way that prepares us for tomorrow being the Lord's Day. And so I want to talk to you about that, the bottom line. The book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. The bottom line is life is very short. Very short. I preached a funeral one day for a 10-day-old baby. Little Skylar only made it 10 days. And then I preached a funeral for a Nona Elmore from back home, 103 years old. What a difference. But you know what? Both of those periods of time are so short. And how true are the words that our lives are so very short. And so the bottom line is God is in heaven. I believe that's true, and I think you probably believe that's true as well. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. We understand the authority of heaven. Don't you understand? All the things of earth really don't matter. All the things that we scurry around in our lives, devoting time and worry and resources, the lion's share of them do not matter. In Psalms 103 verse 19, he says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." Do you know what? Not only does God's kingdom rule over this kingdom here today, the United States, it rules over all the kingdoms that have come, and you can go back as far as you want to go. Do you know what? God called the first man, Adam, "My son." And we all come from Adam and his race. And here we are today under that throne and under that kingdom. Psalms 47 verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. God is in control. It is God who's in heaven. And it is all of us here today who aspire to get there. That's the goal, isn't it? If I make it to heaven by the slimmest of margins, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Revelation 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." There's one person I need to be singing here to tonight. That's the Almighty. There's one person that's really watching that matters, and that's the Almighty. There's one person who pays attention every day and everything that you say and do and everywhere you go that really matters, and that's God. God Almighty. Romans 14, 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." We know what the end is. We know there's a day coming that we'll submit to God. And so that's the bottom line. Number two, you're here. You're not in heaven. Here you are. I don't know if that's a surprise to you. You're here. You're God's creation. You're here, and you're a free moral agent. You can do whatever you want to do. You can make the decisions you want to make and the choices you want to make. Now, there's probably a few of you kids that are 12 or 13 years old and going, "I didn't want to come here tonight. I wasn't free in that choice." You will be. Soon enough, you will be. Soon enough, you'll be grown, and you'll make your choices. Joshua 24, 15, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." You can choose. If you want to serve God, you can serve Him. You can be just as dedicated to God as you want to be. You make those choices and decisions. If you decide you don't want to serve God, you don't have to serve God. You can walk away from God. You can walk just as far away from God as you want to go. You can never think about God. You can never consider His Word. You can never devote any time, effort, or resources in your life to God. You can make that choice. It's your choice. And Joshua puts it pretty plain and pretty good. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then you choose. But he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know what? We're here. We're not on the throne. We're here. We're in the servant's place. And that's a fact, and we cannot change that fact. Romans 6, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, here's the catch. Just because you can do whatever you want to do, it doesn't eliminate the consequences. There's still a God in heaven. There's still going to be a day when every knee will bow. There's still coming a time that we'll stand before God. But it's great that we get to choose. But the reality is we're here and he's there. And it's your choice. Your choice. Tonight, you're either saved or lost. There's no other category there. You're right or wrong. Tonight, today, right now, you're on a pathway leading to heaven or you're on a pathway leading to hell. There's no other options. And no other option's going to come around. It's how it is. It's how it has been designed. And it's very true. And the fact is that judgment is coming. There's a clock ticking. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I've said this many times in my sermons, and I'm going to say it tonight. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. One of these days, there's going to be another preacher, and maybe it's me who's going to say, Jesus may come back tonight. And did you know, at some point, a preacher's going to say it, and Jesus will come back. And we're all going to go, wow, he was right. Jesus may come back tonight. I may be the one that's right. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there's a time there for every purpose and every work. There's a time for us to have our opportunities. There's a time for that. There's a time for you to make your choices and decisions. And you know what? There's a time of judgment that's coming. There's a time when it's over. There's a time when sufficient opportunities have been given to enough people. And you are so blessed to live here now and have the opportunity that you have. You've been given tremendous opportunities by God to serve God and follow God, to love Jesus and follow Jesus. And it is you who decides those things. But you've got to understand, this judgment is certainly coming. The book of Job, chapter 38, verse 3, he says, now prepare yourself like a man, for I will question you and you will answer me. Job had been talking about God. Job had been making some statements about God. And guess what? God was up there listening. Now, Job had been through a lot. He had had a really hard life and a lot of tragedy in his life. And there had been friends of him that had come to comfort him. And they were having all these conversations for days and days and days. And guess what? One day God showed up and he said, you better tighten your belt, son. I'm about to ask you the questions. And that day's coming for you. You understand that? Do you know why we know that day's coming for you? Because you are here. You are alive. And everyone who is alive at some point will be there and we'll tighten our belts. And he's going to ask us the hard question. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone. It's going to take a little time, I suppose, to one by one stand there before God and each one receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Those days are coming, and you know what? It don't seem like it, does it? It seems like everything's just the same. I mean, things slowly change. But here we are, living another day, very similar to yesterday. And the days are rolling by, and we all know this day is out there. This time is coming where at some point somebody's going to go, it's over. Bring them up. We're going to have a talk. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. This is what was revealed to John. This is what John saw. I wonder if you can see it. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And you know what? You'll be standing there. Amongst the millions, you'll be there. And the books were opened. I wonder what books. What were the books? He says another book was opened, which is the book of life. We know a little bit about this book. The saved are written in this book. And so God's going to open up this book of life. And there are going to be names. And I wonder if your name's there. I wonder if your name's written in that book. You know what I hope? I hope on one of the many pages, Sean David Zeebach. I'm going to tell you something. That's my life's goal, to have my name in that book. Then I want you to notice, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. So the books contain the record of your life. The books contain your life, the record of your life. It's all being written down. All the things that we don't think about day by day and the choices that you make day by day are written in the books. And God's got a record, and it's right, and it's true. So I just want you to think about this with me for just a minute. There's going to come a day, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be there, and we'll see the throne of God and Jesus as judge. And I tell you, I think I'll be anxious. Don't you think you'll be anxious? And names will be called. And probably people that we don't know anything about or never heard of will be called, and they'll go up there. And at some point, there's going to be a name called, and you will know that name. Connie Clark, come forth. And you'll go, I know her. I know Connie. And the Lord's going to look at the books and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you're going to go, she did it. She did it. And we'll be so, and the Sheila Jones. And we'll go, I know her. I know her. And the Lord will say, well done. And we're going to go, oh, yes. And then the Matt Clark. And we're going to have this say, I know this guy. And he goes up there, and the Lord's going to open the book and go, I never knew you. And we're going to go, oh, no, this can't be. There's no way. We know him. Well, we thought we knew him. And the Lord's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Yancey Jones. And then we're going to be pretty nervous. He opens the books. Your name's not here. I don't know you. Depart from me. Folks, that's the reality. Your name's going to be called Jonathan Murphy. That's coming. Angie Logan. That's going to be called out. You understand? That's the bottom line. You know what matters in that moment? Your 401k don't matter in that moment. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, if you were 16 when you died or 105. It doesn't matter if you were rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you were black or white, if you lived in America or China, if people loved you or hated you. You know what? Right then, in those moments, you're not going to think about anything but, is my name in that book? And then ultimately, your name will be called. And you'll stand there before God, and your heart will be racing. Am I going to hear, well done? Or am I going to hear, depart from me? We're all going to die. You understand. The choices of your life are going to end when you die. Okay? It's sealed up at that point. Psalms 39:5, indeed you have made my days as a handbreadth and my age as is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. So you are alive, and that's wonderful. So while you're alive, you can change, you can repent, you can make certain that your name's in that book, but you're going to die. That unless Jesus returns, you're going to die. Psalms 89:48, what man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? No, we can't do that. Jesus is coming back. That's a certainty. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Maybe it'll happen before we're done here. Maybe I won't get another word or two out of my mouth, and Jesus will. Maybe it will be 10,000 years. Maybe all of us will be dead, and our bodies turned to dust, and our headstones crumbled to sand. We don't know. But Jesus is coming back. And the truth is, and this is the bottom line, you can make a difference for someone. Now listen to me very carefully. You can make a difference for someone on the day of judgment, what they hear, well done, or depart from me. You can change what happens on that day. And the way you can do that is by sharing the gospel with people. And that's the bottom line. The things that we do here are eternal. The outcome is eternal. 2 Peter 3:11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, and how true is that, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, because of the which the heavens will be dissolved with being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. We know that day is coming. Think about it and look at it from this eternal perspective. The things that you do with your life, whatever days you have left, whatever years you have left, can make a difference for someone so that they hear, well done. In the book of Acts chapter 18 and verse 7, let me get a drink, excuse me. And he departed from there and entered to the house of a certain man named Justus. This is Paul. One who worshiped God, Justus did, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house or household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. I'm just going to tell you another one of these examples from Scripture about how it works, how people share the gospel. And I can't explain everything to it because I don't know everything, but I can read a little bit between the lines, okay? Here are two people. They live in houses that are next door to each other. We'd call them next door neighbors, Justus and Crispus, right? And you know what? When they go out to get the mail, they say, hey, good morning. When they walk out to get the newspaper, they say, how are you doing? They meet each other. They know each other a little bit. You've all got a next door neighbor. How would you feel if your next door neighbor stands before God and hears, well done, and your next door neighbor looks right over at you and goes, thank you. Thank you. As this is exactly the case. These two people were neighbors, and I don't know everything. We don't know every detail, but Justus some way spoke to Crispus. Maybe Paul got together with them and did the Bible study, but we know this. Crispus became a Christian, and I believe the name of Crispus is in the book of life because of what Justus did. Do you see that? And that's the bottom line. If we'll go talk to some people are going to say no. Other people are going to say yes. We can ask them to study. Some will say no, some will say yes. And the bottom line is the few who say yes can have their names in the book of life and hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. The unchanging gospel reaches most people today through a friend, through an acquaintance. Very, very few people just show up at church out of the blue and say, I want to hear the gospel. I mean, honestly, how many times has that happened in the past 20 years? Not one. We've got to reach for these people. In the book of John chapter 4, verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field. They're already white for harvest. I'll ask you a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe the fields are white? Sure they are. There are more people than you can talk to in this town than you have time the rest of your life to talk to. So start talking to people. Start telling them about Jesus. Start sharing your faith in Jesus. Start asking them if you can help them in some way. If you believe that the fields are white, then you need to be doing something. I want to tell you something, and it hurts me to tell you. I cannot count the number of Christians that I've asked this next question. Do you know anyone that we could talk to about Jesus? The lion's share of those Christians say, no, not really. That's not right. That's wrong on every level of Christianity. And the question is, and here's the bottom line, do you care? Do you care about people? You realize thousands of souls around you every day are headed for eternal damnation. They're heading to that day where they're going to heal. Here, I don't know you. Are you going to make any difference at all? You have to try. You have to reach. You have to try. Try. Do something. Do something. If someone's house was burning, would you not try to do something? Something. If someone was drowning, would you not do something? Would you not holler for help? Or jump in there? Wouldn't you? If you saw a toddler trying to go across the street, wouldn't you go out there and do something? But you know, the scripture says we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that so true? We're the hand of God in 2026 on this earth. We are His ambassadors to talk to people. And the fact is, you can make the difference today in someone's eternity, or you can do nothing. And that's the bottom line. I met a man in East Texas. His name was Larry. He was a great big tall guy, about 6'5". And he was big around. He was a huge fella. He was a mechanic. He run a mechanic shop. I'd go help with gospel meetings in Gallatin, Texas, and I'd always go by there and talk to him. He's a really nice fella. Always invited him to church. I told him about the meetings. He never came. Finally, one year he came. They had a tent meeting. They had an outside tent they erected, and people came, and Larry came. And he sat down on a hay bale. We had hay bales out there, little square bales, and I preached a sermon. I don't remember. I have no idea what I preached, but he didn't come back to that meeting, and he didn't come back to the next meeting. There were 2 or 3 years there that passed. I didn't go down there and help with meetings during that time. I didn't see him at all. And then I was in Massachusetts, and Craig Wilcox was a brother in the church there. He said, you know, Larry's really sick. And I said, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, he's got cancer. He's really not doing good at all. And I said, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. I said, does he come to church at all? And he said, no, he's not come. And I said, man, I'll pray for him. And he said, he mentioned that he'd like to talk to you. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I think he really would like to talk to you. And I said, well, I'll come see him. Now, it's an 8-hour drive. And when I got home from Massachusetts, me and Jim Hayes got in the truck, and we drove down there, and we spent the night. And the next morning, we went to his house and knocked on his door, and come in, he said, and we walked in, and he was a skeleton of his former self. You could tell he was in really, really bad shape. And I said, I heard you wanted to talk to me. And he said, yeah, I really do. And I said, well, I got something to say to you. And he said, give it to me straight. I said, I will. I said, you're dying, and the only hope that you have is in Jesus Christ. He said, tell me about it. And I talked to him about the gospel. We had about a 5-minute conversation about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And I said, I would encourage you to be baptized into Christ. I would encourage you to do it today. And he said, that's what I want to do. I want to do it right now today. He could barely walk. We got him in a vehicle. We found out a brother in Christ had a swimming pool. We took him to the swimming pool. We put him in a folding chair. It took 4 of us to get him down into the water, myself and Jim Hayes and 2 of the local brethren, and we baptized him, and we brought him up out of the water. And I want to tell you, his name was written in the book of life. I almost drowned Jim Hayes. He was on the deep end of the pool. I didn't realize that, but you know, whatever it takes. We took Brother Larry back to his home. We helped him get in his home. We helped him get into his bed. We had a prayer, and Jim and I, we left. We had a gospel meeting that weekend, and we went and got busy. And Sunday, after church had been let out, my phone rang, and they said, Larry has passed away. We baptized him on Friday. I thank God we didn't wait a week or two to go see him, to go talk to him. What you do makes a difference in people's eternity. Never forget that.